Blog Talk Radio.
The following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're listening to the Radio Infidel Show live from the USA, bringing you the truth, the facts, and the light. Now, here's your host.
Good evening, and yes, you are listening to the Radio Infidel Show. Jay here with my partners, Pepe Farms, VP of Demon26. Well, let's unpack it in headlines, facts with Demon26, and after the break, big things with Pepe Farms Remembers. But first, as always, let's welcome them in. Good evening and happy birthday, Pepe Farms.
Well, thank you, Jay. And an observance of Camel Toe Harris's D-Day cookies featuring a picture of herself, today we commemorate the conclusion of the Battle of Midway, the victory over Japan's Navy and the 317 U.S. sailors, airmen, and Marines who lost their lives, along with the loss of the aircraft carrier Yorktown and destroyer Hammond, ensured the end of Japan's naval ambitions in the Pacific. Japan lost 4 heavy aircraft carriers, a cruiser, 2,700 sailors, and 320 of its irreplaceable veteran pilots in its unsuccessful bid to trap and destroy the U.S. Navy in the Pacific. A good way to follow up last week's Memorial Day celebrations, I think, Jay.
Very good, very good, very good. Good evening, BP. We have a blind BP tonight. Welcome. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Just had a visit with the eye doctor today, so my pupils are dilated at this point. It's starting to come around, but be patient with me tonight, folks. Guys.
Well, I just have to say, that's probably a better visit than the one with the proctologist.
Now, that would be eye-opening.
Oh, it would be.
Zinger. Good evening, our military security expert, Demon26. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Jay, how are you? Pepe, happy birthday to you, man.
Well, thank you, sir.
So let's go ahead and get into it, guys. In long overdue and never should have been allowed news, a contingent of workers employed by the city of Minneapolis arrived at the George Floyd Autonomous Zone, often referred to by supporters as George Floyd Square, early Thursday to dismantle the makeshift border walls and reopen roads in the area to the vehicles. The much-vaunted George Floyd Border Patrol did not make an appearance, much less mount any attempt to repel the construction crews. The raid took place approximately at 4:30 a.m. Illegal barriers that had been allowed to remain standing for over a year, disrupting the flow of traffic, were unceremoniously dismantled and removed. The signage related to the worship of Floyd was left intact. A crude sculpture of a black power fist at the center of the autonomous zone was also left untouched. Pepe Farms.
Yeah, and of course the quote-unquote locals moved back into the intersection as soon as the city left, and they had to come back and clean it out again. And I'm seeing on the twatters that last night crowds were standing off with the police. I guess this is the hill they want to die on, except it looks like they have split loyalties right now because there's a bunch that have chained themselves to earth diggers at the Line 3 pipeline site, most of which have been arrested except for the ones actually sitting on top of the diggers.
Oh, good Lord. BP, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, that's great. I did see that story, and I was sort of disappointed with the leadership in Minnesota. But I guess it's par for the course. They're afraid of being attacked from their superiors in Washington, AOC and the squad.
Oh, the squad. Demon26, your take on it, buddy.
My take on the Minneapolis black power fist they got up there? I'm from Detroit, son. We have Joe Louis's fist hanging in downtown Detroit. How come they're not celebrating that man, one of the greatest boxers of all time? He's black. He liked Arabian horses, too. He had a farm up the road here. That fist is pointed at Canada, by the way, which I think has always been kind of apropos.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff. Okay, guys, and absolutely love news. Camel Toe Harris was greeted Monday by protesters in Guatemala telling her Trump won, go home. as the country's president blamed Biden for this year's migrant crisis, as well as the Mexican president. The rally was visible to Harris's motorcade as she arrived to meet with Guatemalan President Alejandro. I'm not going to do it. One day after he blamed the U.S. for luring constituents north. Quote, Kamala, Trump won, unquote, read a large sign near the Central American country's presidential palace. Another one, quote, Kamala, mind your own business, unquote. Another sign said, according to the Pool Report. Images posted to Twitter show other signs, including one that tells Biden's migration czar, Kamala, go home. Another large sign was set up by activists featuring a doctored photo of a pregnant Harris. The poster read, Guatemala is pro-life. Harris, by the way, does not have any biological children. Pepe.
Yeah, and for some reason, this is the venue that Camel Toe chose to declare that undocumented should stay away from the U.S. border. Apparently, the Guatemalans are concerned that all the unfettered migration is affecting their economy. And the fact that the hiding administration is more concerned with the economic impact of illegal migration in Guatemala than in the U.S. tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, absolutely. DP?
You're spot on, Pepe. There's a lot of pushback from the countries, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, with the Biden-Harris mispolicy of allowing people in because they're losing the majority of their mature workers. I mean, you know, if you don't have any workers who can do the work, what do? Can't do the work by yourself. You can't import workers from America or England or India or Asia.
Well, no. why would you? I mean, yeah, you're right, BP. You're right on it. Demon 26.
Yes. That whole Central American thing has been an embarrassment for us for decades and decades, but Harris and Biden have taken it to a whole new level. On that little sidebar there of Kamala having no children, I mean, we were just talking about fisting, so that doesn't surprise me at all, really.
Good Lord.
I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there.
So that's what the statue is for.
Oh, God. All right. The award for getting Jay first goes to Demon. Oh, shit. Okay, guys. I got to read the post.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Yeah.
And this day just keeps getting better news. Supreme Court ruled against immigrants seeking green cards. The justice said immigrants with temporary protective status who entered the country without authorization may not apply for lawful permanent residency. The U.S. court ruled unanimously today that immigrants allowed to stay in the United States temporarily for humanitarian reasons may not apply for green cards if they entered the country unlawfully. The case, Sanchez versus Mayorkas, number 20-315, could affect tens of thousands of immigrants. It was brought by Jose Sanchez and Sonia Gonzalez, natives of Salvador, who entered the United States unlawfully in the 1990s. In 2001, after earthquakes devastated El Salvador, the United States made the country's nationals eligible for temporary protected status program. The program shields immigrants from parts of the world undergoing armed conflict and natural disasters from deportation and allows them to work in the United States. Mr. Sanchez and Ms. Gonzalez, a married couple, why they don't have the same last name as me, were granted protection under the program in 2014. They applied for lawful permanent residency, commonly known as green card. After the application was denied, they sued. Now, the United States Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit in Philadelphia ruled against them, saying they were ineligible under a part of the immigration laws that requires applicants to have been inspected and admitted into the United States. Temporary protective status Judge Thomas M. Hardiman wrote for the unanimous three-judge panel, does not constitute an admission. Holy hell, guys, are the courts waking up? Now boot their asses out of here, Pepe.
Yeah, it is almost unbelievable they had the balls, but I think they're just passing the buck. In that ruling, they urged Congress to legislate their way out of it with amnesty or other pathways to citizenship. I don't think it'll get through the Senate for a while, though.
Nor do I. BP.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think it'll make it past the Senate at all.
Demon 2-6?
This whole thing is just a joke, and it's so insulting to the people who come here legally. My daughter's half Korean. Her mother is a legal immigrant. All of these illegals coming in, that is the most insulting thing in the world to all of the people who bothered to do everything correctly. And frankly, I'm tired of hearing about it, and everybody should be sick of hearing about it.
You know, it really should be insulting to people that went through the process. I mean, some wait, what, eight years or more to get through it?
Yes.
And they get ran through a gauntlet of, you know, red tape, and just to walk in and think, hey, screw you.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely, it's so horribly insulting. It took my daughter's mother 4 years, and I'm a decorated veteran. And these people are just walking right in and getting whatever they need.
I'm glad the court, I was shocked that it was 9-0, but I'm glad they're waking up, or they seem to be, I don't know what's going on, but anyway. All right, guys, this one is absolutely shocking to me. The Biden administration is not longer requiring FBI fingerprint background checks of caregivers at its rapidly expanding network of emergency sites to hold thousands of immigrant teenagers. The decision is alarming child welfare experts who say the waiver compromised safety of thousands of unaccompanied child migrants across the border. In the rush to get children out of the overcrowded and often unsuitable Border Patrol sites, President Joe Biden's team is turning to a measure used by previous administrations: tent camps, convention centers, and other huge facilities. Pepe.
Well, you know, Biden remembers when you could just buy children at the workhouse by the pound. I'm sure he longs for the cheap, good old days of leg hair curling, you know.
God.
Oh,
you're crying out loud.
BP, go ahead.
But you have to remember, Biden's also a fan of girls with barrettes in their hair who look so attractive, even though
and eat ice
they're
cream.
Only, and eat ice cream, even though they're not of age to actually.
That just sends me into a rage. Just sends me into a rage.
Yeah. I mean, did anybody see that? That was just sickening.
Nothing creepy at all here. Nothing to see.
No, no. I mean, in front of an audience of adults, you're like, huh? Wait a minute here. What the fuck?
God.
I knew this was going to spin Demon's head off. Go ahead, Demon.
I have to take a beat here, man. I have to take a beat here. One, some of the places they're housing them is Fort Bliss, which is one of our key military installations. Now you have God knows who on Fort Bliss. And that, like I just said, it's a key installation. You can't do that. Two, this is such blatant child trafficking. Our own federal government is engaged in criminal enterprise and human trafficking. These guys make the mafia look like a bunch of Girl Scouts from 1976.
I guess they had a backlog after Trump. They're fulfilling back orders.
Yeah.
God.
Exactly.
It is absolutely. I just that one really took me by surprise. Of all the bullshit they've done and screwed up, I'm like, okay, it's only going to go south from here. All right, Pepe, this next one is a little long, folks, so bear with us. But it's really, really, I think, important because this is happening more and more with parents. Audio soundbar, CRT, please, Pepe.
Good evening. My name is Tatiana Ibrahim, and I'm here for the first time. I'm here tonight not only as a community member, but as a parent in this district. Recently, you sent out a survey wanting to know why parents were not voting yes for this budget. So my situation, my vote for no is a little different. I think the Board of Education and those sitting on the panels are thieves.
I think they're liars and have committed treason against our children. My message to this district and the members of the Board of Ed, stop indoctrinating our children. Stop teaching our children to hate the police. Stop teaching our children that if they don't agree with the LGBT community, that they're homophobic. You have no idea each child's life. You don't know what their family lifestyle consists of. You don't know the makeup of their life. You have children like mine who is Muslim, and I'm Christian, and everyone would think they would never believe that of her, right? Because the way she looks, or according to Miss Cyrus, she's too pasty white.
Ma'am, excuse me, I'm up here. We're not allowed to use names. If you have something you'd like to discuss about a specific person, you can call the superintendent or leave your info for her to call you tomorrow.
Why are we not allowed to discuss names? Why am I not allowed when they purposely themselves expose themselves on social media talking about calling for the death of a former president or saying that any child that doesn't believe in Black Lives Matter should be canceled out? Is this what my tax dollars is paying for? You're teaching my children and other children that if they believe in God Almighty, they're part of a cult. These educators put their own names out there. We have Mr. Barry, who took it upon himself with Ms. Cyrus to create a curriculum.
That should be it.
Do you want the proof? I have the proof. You created a curriculum of Black Panther indoctrination.
Ma'am.
You use taxpayers' dollars.
Can I ask you one more time? I have no issue hearing what you have to say, but...
Why can we not let the public speak? Why can't we let the public know that you're teaching our children to go out and murder our police officers? Do you want the proof? I have the proof. Is that what scares you, the proof? That a parent actually standing up against all of you? Is that what scares you, to call out the names of these people? You work for me. I don't work for you. You have a duty. We are entrusting our children to you. We teach our children morals, values, when they grow up to commit crimes and end up in prison and kill a police officer. It's our fault? No, it's your fault. You're emotionally abusing our children and mentally abusing them. You're demoralizing them by teaching them communist values. This is still America, ma'am. And as long as I'm standing here on this good ground earth of God, I will fight.
I'll walk out.
And I'm not. This is not the last of me you will see. I'm retired. I have nothing else better to do. We can do it peacefully, or we can take it to the highest court, because you know and I know I'm not the only parent fighting this all across America right now. Schools are trying to poison our children's minds, teaching them about things that they have no right to be taught in school.
So normally, I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to just give you just a feedback for a moment. I have no problem having a peaceful discussion. This is not a peaceful discussion.
No, that's your opinion. See, here we go again. This is peaceful. To me, this is peaceful.
Well,
I'm not burning, looting, and murdering. This is peaceful.
No, I did not accuse you of that, but I don't have a problem having a conversation with you, a peaceful conversation, which is this is not.
$6.95 per child in the middle school to buy a curriculum from readtome.org that wasn't even approved by the Board of Ed. The administrators took it upon themselves to buy these books with taxpayer dollars while COVID is going on. How many families are struggling to pay their mortgages? Listen, by all means, you want to teach kids these things, fine. Don't do it on my dollar. Don't infringe on my religious beliefs. Don't infringe.
Yeah, she's a real firecracker there, Jay.
Yeah, you know, I say fried, died, and laid aside, Pepe.
Yeah, she's laying the smack down good. And the more you find out about critical theory, the more pervasive and evil you find it to be. They continue to try and shut her down their hardest with their typical talking points. And I think in that part of the clip, you can even hear one of them say he's going to walk out.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. Yeah. BP, what's your take, buddy?
Oh, I think BP's got himself muted.
No.
There you go.
I'm sorry. I was going to say it's going to take more parents like this speaking out about how just ridiculous this critical race theory is to really get some action, because it's if you allow the teachers and the board members to create all of this, they will run with it and indoctrinate your kids to the bitter end.
Oh, I agree. Well said. Demon, I know you got something on this.
Of all the things she said one thing that is critical and that we all have to pay attention to. I don't work for you, she says, speaking to that Board of Education.
Yep.
You work for me. And I pound on this a lot. Politicians and school boards and city councils, they are public servants, which means they're the hired help. And this woman had it dead bang on. Start treating these people like what they are. They're the hired help.
Absolutely. And overpaid, by the way, if you ask me.
Absolutely.
All right. Demon, let's get your headline today, buddy.
Oh, my God. Really? Biden neglects to mention D-Day, tweets about the 1921 Tulsa massacre instead. On the 77th anniversary of D-Day, one of the most important dates in Western history, our ersatz alleged president wants to talk about an incident that happened in 1921 in Oklahoma instead of actual D-Day. Historians calculate that the number of confirmed Allied fatalities on that first day alone was 4,415. Total Allied casualties are estimated around 10,000. Biggest military operation in Western history in modern times. And this slob Biden wants to talk about a fight that happened in a town. It was only like a couple of dozen people that got hurt. It wasn't even really or killed even. Nobody knew about the Tulsa massacre probably until Biden mentioned it, except for maybe a handful of people and some esoteric historians. The disgrace of this man is staggering. His hubris is staggering, and he's an insult to every veteran who's ever served.
You know, Demon, and guys, my first reaction to this was probably the same as yours. I was pissed off. But then immediately it was followed by heartbreak. Pepe?
Pepe?
Yeah, I'm so pissed off that they've canceled the D-Day, not celebrations, but the my mind was stuck on figuring out the right word, you know, the acknowledgement of the D-Day landing.
The commemoration.
Yes. Yeah, commemorations have been canceled for the last 2 years because of my COVID. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, BP.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's almost embarrassing to all Americans that he would forget a particular day like today. Like, it's unbelievable. Even after you've seen Save Private Ryan, you have some sensibility about what these people went through on this particular day.
Yeah, it's just honestly, I don't think he forgot about it. I think it was planned that way.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I to be honest with you, I think it's more of his pandering. If you're going to honor people in Tulsa, do it right. Go ahead and do it before this day. I mean, there's a timeline to doing things. You know, there's only one day every June, and this is the 7th anniversary. just like you knew it was the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa riots. So, I mean, there's a certain way you do this. And he doesn't understand that, or he doesn't care, which is probably.
I'm going with he doesn't care. Yeah.
He doesn't care, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's purposeful. It's more of this critical theory bullshit. The D-Day landings were part of the current power structure and therefore must be erased from history.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, disgusting. All right. Hey, Pepe, let's get your headline, buddy.
All right. Well, in this one, we have an update to the story of the New York-based psychiatrist who recently told a Yale audience that she fantasized about shooting white people in the head. Now she says her comments were taken out of context. Dr. Aruna Kilanani said she has fantasies of unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way, then burying their body with her bloody hands. The psychiatrist told the New York Times that she was simply using, quote, provocation as a tool for real engagement, unquote, when saying she wanted to murder white people. Quote, too much of the discourse on race is a dry, bland regurgitation of new vocabulary words with no work in the unconscious, Kalani reportedly wrote in an email. And if you want to hit the unconscious, you will have to feel real negative feelings. My speaking metaphorically about my own anger was a method for people to reflect on negative feelings, Kalani added, to normalize negative feelings, because if you don't, it will turn into a violent action. Yet more critical theory on display here, Jay. The good doctor wants to normalize the public expression of the desire to kill people of a certain race. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I thought we were already past that point.
That's racist.
No, that's anti-racist.
Okay, well, yeah, whatever. Yeah, okay. BP, go ahead, buddy. We'll let BP hit this because – go ahead, BP.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of the same from the left in their critical thinking. Evidently, they're much smarter than average people when it comes to this subject. Or at least in their mind, they think they're much smarter, which is unfortunate because they're going to see in the long run that this gets them nowhere.
Yeah.
Wait until you hear the white boy rap about it here later, BP.
Oh, boy.
Demon, go ahead, buddy.
This is all of this stuff. It just makes me so damn angry. I grew up in Detroit's a multicultural city. I hear somebody like BP talk, and I know he's a black fella from South Carolina, right?
North Carolina.
All I want to know is, do you have that damn barbecue recipe that people talk about so much?
I do.
I'm a foodie. That's how my brain works. I want to know if he's got that barbecue recipe that everybody damn talks about. And apparently he does. I'll get with you on that one later, man.
Okay.
This being pushed into people's faces like this, I want to kill this race. I want to kill that race. What are you out of your frickin' minds? What's wrong with you? How were you raised that you can even possibly think like that? And you're a professor of psychology and psychiatry? What is wrong with you?
You know, I gotta mention this because I thought this a few days ago. You know, they're talking about how whites hate blacks, Asians hate whites, but I'm out, you know, 3 or 4 days, and I go certain places for work, and you know, obviously myself, and I see black people opening the door for white people. I see white people open the door for black people. I see Asian people open the door for white people and saying thank you and yes, sir. So, this whole fucking bullshit is another one of their plandemics. You know, it just drives me crazy. All right, guys, great stuff. Now coming at you, get ready. It is Facts with Demon 26.
I did not know you were going to drop that on me. All right. We're continuing with our little talk about the four olds that I discussed from Maoist communism. Culture, ideas, habits and customs. And I want to touch on culture and why whites are being so demonized right now. Folks, it has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with race. It's just a cloak that it's swathed in right now. This Kailani professor, this psychiatrist who spoke at Yale, she was invited there by Linda Mays. I like to call out names and give faces on people here. Linda Mays is the head of Yale's Child Study Center. Well, Linda Mays, I did a little look into her. What does she do? She does chemical experiments on how to improve the fetus in the womb. So this woman's a sinister bitch to begin with. Let's get back to culture and why whites are being demonized, though. It isn't about skin color. It has nothing to do with race. Getting rid of the four olds, and in this case, getting rid of old culture. Western society, the majority of the population has been, since the country was founded, has been white. It just has been. These people want to get rid of that because they have this dystopian dream of their little communist empire that they have to dissolve everything that came before it, which means the biggest target in the room is white culture. We have universities getting rid of the Latin programs, universities getting rid of the Greek programs, statues being torn down left, right, and center. Anything they can do to obliterate what they have termed white culture. And it isn't white that they're after here. It's old culture. They want to destroy everything that you believe in. They want to destroy everything you hold dear. They want to get rid of all of your history. They want to get rid of all of your stories. They want to pretend that you never existed. The only reason they want to do this to you is so they can impose new culture. They want to tell you what you are. That's one of the reasons they're getting rid of family. The CDC and one other organization, I forget which one it is, I didn't pull that link up, but they're calling mothers persons. Mothers, one of the cornerstones of our culture. Family is so important to our culture, and it has been dissolved. You can't find anything in media, the movies, anywhere about how important family is anymore. They've just dissolved it all. The father's an idiot. The mother's a gold-digging slut. The children are venal and narcissistic and shallow. And it's starting to have an effect on our children over the last 15 years or so. I've been watching it. I left the country for 8 years straight. I was gone. When I left, America was still pretty much America. I saw a couple of things that made me raise my eyebrows. But when I came back, the idea of families, the idea of Independence Day, the idea of Easter, the idea that Christmas is a time for families to gather and celebrate, the idea of family reunions, the idea of living where you're from. A lot of people have missed this one. We have been, over the last 30 years, so encouraged to move away from home, strike out on your own. And then all of those family bonds dissolve. Culture is being put to the torch more and more. This Yale professor, this New York City professor, she's not actually from Yale, talking about wanting to shoot white people and bury them with her own bloody hands. The band of idiots that have shot themselves twice so far that were down in Oklahoma the other day, talking about we're going to kill every white face we see. And this is being tolerated and permitted. Why? Because our old culture has been dissolved. I don't have interactions like that when I go downtown Detroit. I don't. I've never, ever had a problem in my entire life. But this whole thing about whites must be killed, pay attention, people. It has nothing to do with culture, with race, I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with erasing our old culture, the foundations that built this nation. Independence Day is coming up, and I want to challenge everybody who's listening to call it Independence Day and hold people to that. They're going to say happy 4th. Say, no, it's Independence Day, and here's why. It's the founding of our nation. It's the root of our nation. We need to start acknowledging these things again. There's so many stories. There's so much goodness in all of this. I mentioned Joe Lewis in Detroit. Gosh, and now I'm embarrassed. I can't remember his name. There's a cowboy famous for inventing the art of bulldogging. Can anybody help me out with this? His name is William Pickett, I think. Anybody ever heard that name?
Yes, William Bill Pickett, yes.
Yep, I have, yes.
Why isn't that story taught? The man was a genius. He was a god among cowboys, and he came from a slave family. Why isn't that venerated? I live on the Underground Railroad. We used to be taught about the Underground Railroad in school. All of those stories are gone. They're all gone. Nobody teaches them anymore. Our old culture is being erased, and it is up to us to reverse that. Turn it around. Don't let the four olds happen in the United States of America, because when it happened in China, 10 million people were put to death. That's what you're looking at. Let's take back our culture. We need it. It's our root. It's our heritage. It's our bedrock culture, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, Demon, that was, one was very powerful, but I was having a conversation, I think last week, about, you know, have you noticed, and probably for you, me, because we're close to the same age, have you noticed that once grandparents got out of the picture, shit changed in families? There's no more family reunions.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there
yes.
is, that's very scary. You know, used to be you played and hung out with your cousins. You knew your cousins. You knew your aunts, your uncles. And it's gone.
I grew up that way. I very much know what you're talking about, Jay. I have 72 first cousins on my father's side, because we're drunk Irish who live in a cold place in northern Michigan. So 72 first cousins. But you're spot on. Once that chain was broken, that's when it all started to fall apart.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. Pepe, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And just for anyone that's wondering, bulldogging is that rodeo sport where the cowboy rides along on the horse and then tackles and wrestles to the ground a steer. Pretty intense stuff there.
Yeah, I've seen that done at the Kern County Rodeo.
Yeah, absolutely. BP, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to go to the rodeo in Oklahoma, so I've seen that also. Anyway, you're actually spot on, Demon, with your comments. I think it's part of the plan to erase the family and take over the country in a fascist, socialist, Marxist way. So we just have to talk to our kids, explain to them freedom is better than death.
Teach the little ones.
And you know, Demon, VP, Pepe, I don't know if we can come back from that grandparent thing. What do you guys make?
We have to become aware of it first, and we have to start taking steps to keep our families closer.
Yeah, that's one of the...
Go ahead, BP.
I was going to say, one of the things that the leftists are trying to get rid of are the old people. They see no value in old people at all.
Yep.
Just like the CCP, they don't see any value in old people.
Yep.
Well, one of the things that really got me, and I don't want to draw this out, but, you know, why all these motherfuckers are sitting home at and making $800 a week on federal extended benefits, why are we not doing the same for our seniors? I don't know. Anyway, Pepe, go ahead.
Yeah, they just cost too much. It's a bottom line thing. If you're not paying your fair share of their bankroll, the politicians don't want you.
Well, here, I'll tell you what pisses me off about that. They paid their share. They paid into Social Security. They paid into, you know, we are so ass backwards, guys.
From the politician's point of view, even your take-home pay is a negative sum on their balance. As far as they're concerned, it's all of their money, and anything that's in your pocket is something they gave to you out of the goodness of their own hearts.
Well,
yeah,
I vote for bringing back tar and feathering. I, you know.
Oh, amen.
I mean, it worked back in the day. Why it could work again? You know, they say traditions come back every 30 years or whatever. Okay.
Yeah, like I mentioned before, I'm fond of the Romanian tradition of throwing their politicians in the dumpster.
Oh yeah, I.
If the dumpsters are full of tar and feathers, I have no argument against it.
Absolutely. Great first half, guys. Okay, folks, that is the halfway point on the other side. Big Think with Pepe Farms. Grab you some Georgia Sweet Tea. Hit the can. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Radio Infidel Show for another edition of Pepe's Big Think. Almost everyone has now at least heard of critical race theory, that wonder of wonders that leads mega corporations like Coke to openly proclaim everybody should, quote, be less white. But racism is just a small part of the whole. Critical theory comes in as many flavors as there are Facebook genders, sold to young skulls full of mush as postmodernism's answer to all that ails us. Critical theory is on display everywhere you look. Tonight on Big Think with Pepe Farms Remembers, we begin our journey into the bowels of Karl Marx's legacy, and we'll try to leave no dramatic hamster unturned. Critical theory in academia is purposefully obfuscated with in-group jargon, as is most of Marx's work, making it difficult to approach from the layman's perspective. Developed by a group of sociologists at the University of Frankfurt out of the Marxist tradition, critical theory seeks to change society as a whole through criticism. And here, right at the start, we find critical theory's first reimagining of reality. To a critical theory adherent, to criticize is not merely to critique, but to also cause change for a perceived better condition. It is not enough to point out an error. You must also change society as a whole to prevent that error from occurring again. As asserted by Max Horkheimer in his book Traditional and Critical Theory, Max proclaims a theory can only be considered a true critical theory if it is, quote, explanatory, practical, and normative. Again, critical theory relies on obfuscation here. Normative means that which is normal to normal people and the dictionary, at least for now. But in critical theory, normative means to change what is normal. And boy, do they change what is normal, because criticizing and normalizing was never enough for these anti-capitalist hacks. They had to kick it up a notch with postmodernist theology. Postmodernists reject the idea that universal truths exist at all. They reject the notion that there is any objective truth and that any fact you think you know is simply imposed by oppressive power structures. Postmodernists purposefully employ exclusionary jargon with complex theories that are heavily abstracted, with so many conceptual layers that they are nearly impossible to communicate in plain language. To that end, postmodernists claim historical words are invalid and invent new words to signal inclusion in the postmodern tribe. Postmodernists believe it is impossible to define any inherent meaning about anything. Everything is subjective experience. Everything is emotion and therefore cannot be argued against objectively. Postmodernist nihilistic idealism claims life has no meaning and reality is defined by fiction. PM promotes extreme individualism and materialism, but rejects personal responsibility in favor of victim status at the hands of society, systems, history, tradition, and norms. Power structures are viewed as deep conspiracies that are all-powerful, with individuals relegated to blameless and helpless pawns, unless they have a thin blue line bumper sticker. Finally, and not to bury the lead, here's the big one. Postmodernists also developed medicalization, the view that a wide range of common human behaviors are a medical condition. And with the addition of popular psychology, all human behavior is a medical issue. You see, postmodernist critical theory doesn't hold much water in the hard sciences. 2 + 2 might equal 5 on Twitter, but those same blue check marks are laughed out of every math department on the planet. The only science subjective enough to fall prey to postmodernist critical theory is medicine. And we are seeing the results of this failure today. Is it any wonder that the previously rejected virus theory was embraced in the mid-50s now? Virus theory is the perfect answer to critical theory's wet dream, a made-to-order behavioral modification scheme. Berkeley's 2021 PhD program offers a critical theory emphasis for any PhD candidate, where they can enroll in courses on critical race theory, post-colonialist theory, feminist critique, gender studies, queer theory, cultural theory, media theory. The list is subjectively endless. Once you know what to look for, you will find critical theory permeates every aspect of your life. From 15 days to slow to spread to the WMD lie, the postmodernist rejection of objective truths and the relentless one-sided critique of capitalism has but one stated goal, the worldwide implementation of communism, and is still being sold as a utopian pipe dream. How is it being marketed? White guy rap, of course. Since he's a dirty commie, I know he won't mind me sharing his critical theory love sonnet. Hit it, Nathan.
The truth is a fact, a fib is a fiction. A theory is a clear and objective description of that which exists. How it is, how it isn't, by history or science or some defined discipline. So theory goes. If you hold the opinion that truth is so easily known and envisioned. But what if, quote, truth as you know it is hidden by myths you've been told that you don't know you're living? What if powers that be control how the truth's given? And even how science and history are written? And even the means of theorizing's conditioned by the interest of those in the power position? Well, in that case, our theories would need criticism. And this is called critical theory. Its mission to sift out the shit and call out the system. What system is it? It's capitalism.
Roll your paradise. Make your paradigm. Break no paradigm. They tell me this is paradise.
With the question within Marxism, is the revolution working? Oh, darn it isn't. Well, the Bolsheviks revolted, the autocrats co-opted it. But the problem's not communist, the problem is consciousness. All we can think is what we have known. And all we've ever known is that things can be owned and to bite, scratch, and claw to get your possessions. And life is a bitch if dog eat dog's your first premise. It's get what you get since the get-go, it's endless. The notion's so close we don't notice its presence. Every system we inscribe reinstated its essence in hieroglyphs, Bibles, and declarations of independence. All of our relations, a human and their nation, a human and another human, a human and Mother Nature are reduced to an equation of consumeristic labor. You know what I'm saying? You get what you pay for. My ancestors own people. My creditors own me, though. It's not the same thing, but there's many kinds of evil. But we don't even overthrow the powers that be, though, because we really don't even know how to be free. Oh, and even if we did know how, would we want to be? Don't we want jobs and a solid economy? People gotta eat. It's Nathan's hot dogs or me. We've got it all, but it's all ideology. The system may seem natural, but it keeps you in place. It makes it seem natural to work cheap at a pizza place. It makes it seem natural to divide the species by class and race. It makes it seem unnatural to stop and seek peace and grace. Nothing against pizza. Pizza's delicious, but the idea that you need it is cheesy and insidious. No matter how you slice it, we're defined by our interest in a circle of supply and demand, which is vicious. And I may understand this and say it in rap fits and pray my supply matches what your demand is. Yet I must admit, in spite of this rap song, even I had to buy Das Kapital on Amazon. Ain't that ironic? You called it a Leninist. You call yourself leftist, you're probably capitalist. Not that you don't mean your call out sincerely. This irony is acknowledged by critical theory.
Roll your paradise. Take your paradise.
So critical theory looks at our history, all of its books and ambiguous victories, all of its answers and questions them critically. Why everyone says they want freedom but isn't free? And so what began in the context of economics became a critique of a complex of concepts that constitute the basis of the ideological constructs that course through our culture and complicate all of it. And it's the predecessor of identity politics and feminist call-outs of patriarchal nonsense and critiques of white privilege and fights for racial justice that say what's left unsaid and just how unjust it is. And make you wake up to what's real till you're woke to the wheel of control in which you're a mere spoke. For the system's not broken, it breaks you, you're broke. And it ain't funny, bro, your truth is a joke. But then here's a problem. If all I've been told is a product of forces and forms of control that inform all I do when I'm thinking of stuff, well then how I know who to be critical of? Take a pair of sources of important information, like a couple of our never-ending news organizations making two new contradictory yet very forceful statements. Who's to say which of the two you should believe and who to take a spin? You may be moved to say whichever's based upon the evidence. But if you had the evidence, you'd only then make sense of it directed through the prism of whatever your perspective is. Perspective that's affected by whatever else is said to it. But if it's all relative, then how is there a hell to give? Even that it's relative itself is kind of relative. Whether you're a liberal with conservative relatives or a rebel who would kill to live well in the hell you live. And this is relevant, since critical questioning gets weaponized by your side and your enemies, characterizing this 21st century in endless critique with increasing intensity. And so a theory that's designed to find and call out all the liars now is also called upon by those designing to divide us. It's the tool that's used to fight the privileged class and bank insiders, but it's also are used to justify the climate change deniers. It's the basis of all of the words in these raps, but also fake news and alternative facts. Even maniacs and bigots try to speak their truth to power. Each is saying louder that their truth is ours. I don't know what's true. I too am a part of it. The tool is double-edged. Choose your department. I do art. I'm a dude in an apartment. I don't know what to do, though I try to regardless. For myths are not replaced by truth, but by other myths that get more use. The myth uses us, us who invented it. Let's invent some that have mutual benefit. History's history. Let's see how it ends. Let's be each other's critics and friends. Let's tear it all down and build something fine. All theories aside, it's a critical time.
Roll your paradise. Make your paradigm. Break your paradigm. They tell me this is paradise. I only knew how to be free.
Theoretically.
So there you have it, in all its glorious white boy rap YouTubiness. Critical Theory is here to save you, so now just shut up and eat the bugs, bigot.
Oh my goodness, I'll tell you, that one right there is so white, he makes Ed Show look dark. Oh,
you like that, Jay? Unfortunately, that's the most coherent explanation of Critical Theory I was able to find on YouTube.
That's great. Better than that. BP, go ahead.
I was just going to comment, that is awesome. Where did you find that one? I'm going to have to get that from you.
Yep. I know you want to pump that out of your 15s, right?
you want to put that in your playlist?
My 12, you mean?
You want to put that in your playlist, BP?
Yes, I do.
D-Man26, go ahead, buddy.
I'm still dealing with my thoughts of murder right now, Jay.
Yeah, Demon in the secret chat was like, I got to kill this guy. I really got to kill this guy.
Oh my God! It's a funny rap. Let's be honest,
it was
a pretty funny rap. But if you really listen to what he's saying, the guy has his head packed so far up his fourth point of contact, it's not funny. How do you end up like that? Jesus Christmas!
Well, he does admit that he's just an artist.
Oh, there you have it.
Oh, is that what they call it now? I thought it was like, you're an artist, you're an asshole, but. Whatever, you know. All right, guys. Pepe Farms, final thoughts.
Well, that's about everything from me tonight, Jay, but I'll leave you with these final thoughts about calcium from Jack Handy. Most people don't realize that large pieces of coral, which have been painted brown and attached to the skull by common wood screws, can make a child look like a deer. Good night.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Oh, I knew it. BP, final thoughts.
Final thought, Jay, Demon, Pepe. Everyone should think for themselves. Everyone should think for themselves. That's all I have for you tonight.
Amen. Demon26, final thoughts.
Final thoughts reflects on what I had to say earlier, Jay. Teach our children these things. It's so important. Teach the little ones, any of them you have around you, man. That's all I got for tonight.
Yeah, you teach it before it's too late. You know, I mean, because we're headed in a too late direction, I think, Demon.
Yep.
You know, hopefully when you and I have gone on the other side of the ground, it's not going the way it's going now. All right, guys, thanks to Mike Owens, executive producer at Pepe Farms, and Demon26 and BP. Awesome stuff, gents. Thanks to our listeners, as without it, you wouldn't just be as much fun. Join us on Gab at Radio Show. Get us out of here, Pepe.